from the table of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to eat from the table of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to come together, to worship you in spirit and in truth, to have this fellowship together. We thank you for your bride, Lord, around the world. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you have a people in this last days, Lord, that can believe every word. And Lord, it's not by our ability, Lord, but it's because you give revelation, Lord, because you live in them, because you anoint them, Lord. And you teach them, you lead them and guide them in all truth. Lord, we thank you for the group that you've gathered here. And Lord, those that would be listening in. And Father, we pray for those that are working or have other things, maybe sick or whatever it might be, Lord. May you bless them, Lord, and strengthen them. Give healing and supply every need. Lord, as we commit all things to you now, as we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As though you can be seated, and we greet you tonight in the name of the Lord, and we're so happy to see Brother Richard with us tonight. He just walked right in and is doing good, and we had a good fellowship with him on Saturday for a little bit. Sister Edith asked us to come and sit while she went to the store, and so I've been... there's been so much going on in the last few weeks, and so I haven't been over to see Brother Richard like I'd like to be. And so I was talking to him there, and he's doing so good, and he's talking so good, and he's really carrying on a conversation. And so I told Brother Bosworth this on Sunday. I said I went by to see Brother Richard, and I said he asked me about you. He said, "Are you okay?" He said, "Is Bosworth okay?" And I said, "Yeah, as far as I know, he's okay." And he said, "You know, today's his day off. So he knows his schedule. He's got, you know, he's got his mind straight." And so he's saying, "Today's his day off," he said. "And I haven't seen him." So I told Brother Bosworth that. So then I told him, I told Brother Bosworth, I said, he got me too. I said, I asked him, I said, "Brother, are you about ready to go on another little excursion and us ride off?" He said, "I've been waiting on you all day." I said, "Okay." I said, so he got me. So we're glad to see the progress. We thank God for the progress. And it's just a great blessing. And now we're missing many tonight. We know many working, and there's been a lot of sickness. And I was glad to see Sister Esther and the girls here Sunday, and she's still fighting some sickness and having a hard time. And so I want to just continue to remember them. The Lord will just give healing, Amen. And so He knows all things. And I think, Brother, isn't it next weekend that today's the 18th, it's this weekend for the memorial for Brother Henry? Sorry? 22nd. Is that Saturday? Yeah, that's this weekend. Yeah. So So I don't know if anybody was planning on going or not, but I thought maybe Mike can at least call and say something about it. Are you still planning on going? Okay. So Brother Goomba is going. So just what I'm asking is just want you to be in prayer. Be in prayer for the family there. They wanted to have some type of memorial for him, and then he'll be going back. They'll be taking the body back to Kenya to be buried. And so remember that. And then Brother Goomba, I don't know if he put the request up, but he posted this morning on the group. Everybody said they would be praying for the child there. You mentioned that, good. So there's a lot of requests out there, and I don't mention it, but I think sometime you're mentioning it, and I don't know. I hear a noise. So, all right. So let's get into it. So this is part two, the third stage of his ministry, and I'm going to have at least one more stage, one more part on Sunday. I was witnessing to somebody today, a brother in Uganda, and so as I was witnessing to him, some quotes that went right along with this, and I've had two or three. There's some groups that have just started now, and they've put us in them, and some of them are just for prayer, and some of them are just for testimonies and different things, and so I don't really follow them very well, but I've been hesitant to delete them. And so, but out of those groups now, I've had some brothers talking to me and asking me, and I've had a couple that they said, "Brother, we want a partnership with you. We want to work with you. We want to, join with you," and da 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 da. And so then the very next, I said, "That's great, brother. We're glad to have you on board. Praise the Lord. We'll work together. We're partners, all that stuff." And they say, we want to build a church, and we want to buy land, and we need your support. And so that's where it ends up. And so I just tell them, I said, "Brother," I said, I don't have money. I said, "We're doing the same thing. We're trying to get a place." I said, but so today as I was studying, this just kept coming back to me. And I'm thinking, God has a reason. Every time somebody reaches out to you, every time somebody talks to you, God has a reason. And you remember when the possum went to Brother Branham? And God got on him. God rebuked him. He said, "I sent her here. I sent her here to you." There's nothing happening in our life that God didn't pre-plan, that God didn't know was going to happen, and that there was going to be some reaction from us, or there should be some reaction from us, whatever God wants in that. And so the thing just kept coming back to me as I was studying, and I wrote the brother, and I said, "Brother," I said, "what do you think about the church ages?" And I said, he said, "Yes, we're in the Laodicean church age. We're in the seven church ages." Now, first I said, "Are they over?" And he said, "No, we're in the last one." And I said, "Well, what about the bride age?" He said, "Yes, we're in the bride age." And I said, "Well, you can't be in two different ages at the same time." I said, "Which one are you in?" And so we went on and on and on until I sent him a bunch of quotes. So I got some of those quotes I'll read on Sunday. But I just, sometimes we think, and I shouldn't say we, sometimes I get bogged down and I just get busy and I drop the ball. That's what it is. Just drop the ball. And God has a reason in everything.
That's right.
Brother Ram said, everything, every sign, everything, God has a purpose in it. God's doing something, and he wants to get the attention. And I got a quote in here somewhere. It made me think of a message Brother Goomba brought recently about God gathering the people, And that's what God has always been doing. Every time he sends a word, or he sends a prophet, or he sends a sign, or he does anything, he's trying to gather the people together. And the scripture uses another word, to hover, like a as a hen would her brood, those things God's always trying to get. And the thing that was outstanding about what Brother Gumbo, when he brought that message, is he was bringing it all the way through, not just in this day, not just in this late hour, but all the way through. God has been gathering and gathering and gathering, and they don't want it. They don't want it. They don't want it. So let's get into this now. So the world is again falling apart. Again falling apart. Paragraph 10. Because remember, there will just be so many names on that book. And when the last name is added, that's all of it, see, and yours might complete it. Now, this is 1963, and this is after the seals. And you know, he didn't add no names to the book. You know, all the names were in there, and they were all in there before the foundation of the world. And so it's just modern terminology, and he straightens it out plenty of places. So this is not a cumulative thing that God is doing, and he's coming through every age, and he's saying, oh, I like this guy. Let me write his name in my book. No, it's not like that. He's not adding no names. All the names are in there, the Bible says, before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world, he already knew you. He already knew what you was going to look like. He knew what day you were going to live in.
That's right.
Huh? Yes. He knew that you weren't going to be here in Abraham's day. You weren't going to be here in Jesus' day, his first coming. He knew you were going to be in this day.
That's right.
And he knew what part of the Word of God that you were going to be called by.
Amen.
That you were going to believe.
Yes.
And of course, you're going to believe all of it, but the difference with the elect are they are able to believe the word of their day.
Amen.
And so that's the thing that people don't have the ability to do, because that, to take it in season, that takes the seed of God.
Yeah.
That is only for the elect. And so the rest of them, they struggle and they can't recognize the presence of God. See? So, when the Lamb come and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne, that was the book of redemption. What was it? It was the book of redemption. And those names was put in there before the foundation of the world. And when that last name was called, the book, the plan, everything else was revealed then. Huh? When he took the book, everything was revealed right then. And he said, it was the book of redemption. And so if it's the book of redemption, then it's revealing those that are redeemed. That's what he's doing. And so it's revealing all that he redeemed, that the Lamb redeemed. See, everything else was revealed then. The seven seals was opened by the Lamb. And the mysteries of the whole Bible was hidden there. And he said, if we had time, I'd like to see. Now, I'm going to read a part and I'm going to skip the small print there. So I just got through with those seven seals just recently and was foretold exactly. And if I ever preached anything that was inspired in my life, it was the seven seals. And so I know that we're at the end time.
Yes,
huh? Because this, I know this came from God. He said it was foretold a year and 6 months before it happened. He said, God told me to go west, be there on the mountain. Said seven angels would come down in the form of a pyramid and tell me what to do. And said, he's sending him west to get the commission, telling him that he's going to come back east and preach the revelation of the seven seals.
Amen.
See, that's God's way.
Amen.
God has a way. And why couldn't he just stay there in Jeffersonville at his church and pray and study? And God just tell him what the seven seals are. No, this was too great. This was too big of a thing. God was making a great impression upon the world, upon the bride, upon the church, upon everything, upon everybody. Listen, Moses and them could have just left. They could have just walked out and went. But God hardened their heart so it would continue and continue and continue. Because God was doing something great. He was doing something marvelous. And that last name goes on that book. Oh, or the last name that's redeemed. See, that was put on that book. That settles it. See, he's correcting it. He comes to claim what he's redeemed. And it might be a strange time. Listen, it might be a strange time. What time is he talking about? He's talking about the claiming time. He's talking about after the work is finished, after he takes the book of redemption. And so we've covered that, and we know that. And so, but this next part is what I'm wanting to get. This is what I'm trying to establish, and kind of reading the same type of quotes from Sunday, and again on Wednesday, only it'll get a little bit more deeper maybe. So he comes to claim what he redeemed. And it might be a strange time. Did you ever think people will go right on preaching, the church will go right on even thinking they're getting people saved? Huh? So he's telling us there's coming a time that people will be preaching the gospel right out of the Bible and right out of the message. Huh? They're going to be preaching too out of this message. Because not everything that calls itself a message believer is a message believer.
Amen.
No. No. And he said, it will be too late during this time. But not only does he tell us that this time has to happen in this last days, that there has to be a third stage of this ministry in the last days, but he takes us back through the Bible. He takes us back to Jesus' day. He takes us back to Noah's day. He takes us all through the Bible telling us this exact same thing happens over and over and over. That this stage of the ministry is that there's no hope. Isn't that something? Isn't it something to think? That the people can be preaching and it doesn't do any good. But they're thinking. And remember, that is the same spirit that was on the people of the Laodicean church age. Is that right?
Yep.
They're miserable, blind, naked, and didn't know it.
Right.
They didn't know it. And you would think, the quote that we read there where Brother Branham was astounded by the statement that Brother Neville made at the in a message Brother Neville was preaching. Brother Branham was astounded by that statement that he made. And it led him into the things that he said and has repeated many times, only he took it much deeper, and he put it in the scripture. But Brother Neville made an outstanding statement. He said that that when the Spirit of God leaves the earth, that they won't know he's gone. Is that what he said? They won't know he's gone because they didn't know him when he was here.
Yes, sir.
Right? They didn't know him when he was here. They didn't know him when the prophet was here. They missed the presence of God. They missed the signs of God. They missed the Spirit of God. They missed the whole thing. Yet they believed they were getting the people saved. They were preaching the Bible. They were preaching the message. See, it's too late. It's all over, see? And the message will go to the totally lost. Just like it did in the days of Noah. 7 days in the ark. It did it in the days of Sodom. How about that? Same thing again. It was finished. It was done. The judgment was there. Jesus himself, his third stage of his ministry, this is where I got my title, his third stage of his ministry, he went and preached to the souls that were eternally lost, that were imprisoned, that repented not, the long suffering in the days of Noah. And we don't know what time these things might happen. Oh, but he's telling us. He's telling us, and this is November 63. And he brings it over and over. And we don't know what time these things might happen. And let us be warned. Don't just stand around. Let's do something about it. If we're not right with God, let's get right with God. The disciples asked him one time about this question. And they said, why do the scribes say, the teachers of the scripture, that Elias must first come before these? All these things happen. Before all these things happen. He's using this as an example. You know this, you've heard this many times. But he's using this as an example to this same point. Now remember, he was talking to his disciples, not to the Pharisees. See? And the disciples, they said, why do the scribes say Elias must first come? And he said, Elias is already come, and they did to him what they listed, and you didn't know it. Huh? So he is saying that John the Baptist, who was the Elijah of that day, had already come, had already brought his message. And the people of that day did not recognize the message or the messenger. Huh? This man was sent from God, and although this is really interesting, because a lot of times they didn't recognize the scripture until after, when the prophet told them, identified the scripture. But in this case, is the opposite. They're identifying the scripture, but they can't identify the manifestation of it. So here, the manifestation of this scripture has already came and already happened. And now they're saying, okay, so if this guy is supposed to be the forerunner, then why do the scribes say, and that's where they came to him, the disciples came to him, not the denominations, but the believers. His believers came to him and said, why are they quoting this scripture? What does this scripture mean? And he's saying, yeah, that scripture's already happened. And they're like, how did it happen? They said, well, that spirit of Elijah was on John the Baptist. And then they recognized it was a revelation to them. It was new to them. It was a new thing to them. See? Now, what if someday you find out that we would hit a tribulation period or something, or a rapture or something? Huh? What if one day you find out we hit a tribulation period and you say, well, I thought there was going to be a rapture first? How many times he brings these things up? And what is tribulation? It's judgment. Right. All right? What is tribulation? It's just judgment. You know that there was tribulation in every single church age?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, they rejected the word in every age.
Right.
God sent a message. There was a political war. There was a spiritual war that took place. There was a group that rejected it. And then the judgment fell upon them. And the elect of that day, what did he do? He caught them away.
Right.
He caught them away. They were caught up by the revelation of that day. Caught up in the revelation. See? There was a judgment in every age. It was happening, going on. Did the seventh church age have it? Oh, yes, he did. Yes, it did have it. See? You say, well, I thought the rapture was to come first. See? And the voice would speak back and tell you, the rapture is already, and you didn't know it. You didn't know it. That's where I started. I got that brother. That's how far I got that brother today. I told him, I said, the rapture is a revelation. It's a revelation. And then, naturally, as most people would, he said, yes, yes, I believe that the prophet reveals, or the rapture is being revealed, whatever, in that way. And then you're going to still catch away. And so I tried to pinpoint that thing. It's a revelation. It is a revelation. It's the mysteries calling you. It's the life of Christ coming in you. It's a revelation of God, of his word, of his life in this day, in this hour. The rapture is already, and you didn't know it. Isn't it amazing? Isn't that contrary to everything that was taught the last 2,000 years? isn't it? Because everybody was going to know when the rapture took place. Everybody was going to know because the world was going to go into chaos. Because the world was going to be finished. Because everything would be over with. That's exactly the same thing they thought was going to happen 2,000 years ago. And the world went right on. And it went right on. And that was part of the mystery. That was part of why they could not comprehend it. And it was done that way on purpose. See, as it was in the days of Noah, wherein eight souls were saved by water. See? So will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Amen. Same thing happened. And he's done told us that over and over. Same thing happened in Noah's day. What was it? The door was closed. Right. Nobody could get in. Nobody could get out. Amen. They went right on. Were those people religious in that day? Yes. Was there ever a time that the world wasn't religious, that there was some type of religion, something going on? Then they were doing the same thing. Right. They were worshiping God in whatever form they were worshiping God, going to church in whatever type of church they had in that day, doing the same thing, yes. Believing they were getting saved, believing they were bringing the people to God, and it was over. They had missed the sign. They had missed the message. They had missed the messenger. And he was still there. He was still there. And they missed him. And it was too late for them to get to him now. People go right on just thinking they're doing the right thing. And it'll be all over. Oh God, have mercy on us. Oh, if we would have only knew that sign. Huh? If they would have knew the sign in Jesus' day. And you hear even some of those priests testify and said, we know nobody could do what you do if God wasn't with them. Nobody could do what you're doing. And what about what he said just a minute ago? The voice will speak. I missed that. The voice will speak. Where is the voice now? Huh? Where's the voice now? No, the prophet's not here now. No, the voice now is in the bride. So who's going to tell them? Who's going to tell them when they wake up? And they say, man, I thought the rapture was going to happen before these things. Who's going to tell them? Who's the voice? Who's the voice that's telling them the rapture's already on? The rapture's already happening.
Yes, sir.
People are caught up in this revelation. Amen. People are caught up into the presence of God. That's what's been happening all along.
That's right.
If they had only knew the sign, when they seen this one come in there, that had been up there with Abraham, huh? If they would have only knew that modern Billy Graham of that day, huh, went down, him and an Oral Roberts, and preached that message to them and blinded the people, huh? Same thing today, blinding them. Did they think that they were getting saved in those meetings? They believed they were getting saved. And there was no sincerity whatsoever. No, surely there was some sincerity there. But Brother Branham, he talked about it. And I think some of that is even filmed. They had some of it filmed. But he said you could see him making the altar call and see the people going up there and see them chewing their gum and laughing and jabbing each other where they're making jokes as they go up to the altar. There's no sincerity in that. God's not in that.
Amen.
No. If you're coming to God, you're coming to your Creator.
Yes, sir.
You're not going to some strip club or some comedy show or some nonsense.
Right.
No, it's a serious thing.
Yes, sir.
There's got to be something happening in here. But they walk up there chewing their gum, making their jokes and playing around. And then they walk back to their seats saying, praise God, I'm saved now. They probably don't say praise God. They probably just say, I'm saved. See, if they would only known them old righteous Methodists and Baptists back there had been a sign to them of that day. Huh? Because they were sincere. Yes. Those early ones, they were sincere. That's why Brother Branham said, that was okay for your mama. That was okay for your daddy. But it ain't going to work for you. No, this thing has been revealed now. The seals are opened. The prophet has come. The same thing in Jesus' day. Once he paid the price for sin, you can't go back and do what mom and daddy did. You can't go back and offer your bulls and goats and your sheep and pigeons and all of that stuff. No, that was done. It was finished. Now it was a new way. Now there was a new covenant. Now there's a new revelation. That's right. Then what did they see? Lot, when the sins vexed their very soul, then what did the Methodists and Baptists turn into? Like Lot did. Same thing. See, but the righteous out of there come out. Sure, that's right. God always gets his out. What if it was when Billy Graham went down and going up for decision, chewing gum, and punching one another, and laughing, and bobbed hair, and painted up faces, and not even a bit make a move of more about it. See, come up the next day, Billy Graham said, I have 30,000 come to the altar call. 30,000 people. And he said, I come back in a year, and I don't have 30. Something in it. That's his own testimony. That's his own testimony. He blamed it on the preachers. He said, the problem is you lazy preachers. Brother Ram said, that wasn't the problem. The problem was they didn't get him to Christ. Because right. He said, when Paul would go into a town, he might get one or two. Mm-hmm. And then come back in a year and have a group of people. Because they got something. Right. Because it was God doing it. And when God's doing it, it's going to have results.
Yeah.
Oh, I made a decision. I ain't going to hell. I'm going to heaven, see? Wading right on in sin. They made a decision. See? That sounds okay. You made a decision. But that ain't it, brother, sister. That ain't it. It ain't making a decision. It ain't joining a church. It ain't getting your letter. I never did understand that because I never was a part of that. When I came in, my denominational days was visit. But I heard him talk about a letter, and so I found out one day that when they join the church, they get what they call a letter that they now are giving themselves. They've given themselves to Christ, but now they're a part of this church. They're giving themselves to this church, and so. On the tally book of the denomination, where your letter is, that counts for their status of how many people they have. So now if you change churches, and I've heard them talk about this in some of my few visits, they want you to get that letter moved because now they're not getting credit for you. See, and they need to get credit over here at this church. You can be going over here, somebody be going over here for a year, but their letter's over there in another town. So they want you to get that letter moved over here because that's important to them. And so, but it's not important to God.
Amen.
You're not going to find anything about that in this Bible.
Right.
It's not there. No, He is the one with the book. He put your name on the book before the foundation of the world. There ain't no man-made book. There ain't no letters. There ain't nothing else. So you can make a decision, but that decision has to be based on God calling you, God predestinating you. And when that happens, then You're not joining a church. You are coming in relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what it is. And then the gospel being preached in the power and signs and wonders with the pillar of fire over it. Everything going on just exactly and predicted and set out. See? They said a bunch of holy rollers. It's mental telepathy. Some kind of a witch spirit, a devil. That's all it is. See? Isn't it something that's the tactic? That's the tactic. And you see it everywhere. You see it in politics. You see it in churches. You see it in the spiritual warfare. When God sends a great gift like that on the scene, then you see all of these false accusations, all of this to discredit what God is doing. It's an amazing thing. You have to realize that the people are ignorant to the spirit that's on them. And so, otherwise they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. And, I don't want to go off on the politics, but let me just say one thing. And because I know you've seen this, you see it online, you see where they go on these college campuses and they ask these students questions. And it's some of the most ridiculous stuff you ever heard in your life. And they'll ask them, would you rather live in Iran with that leader, or would you rather be in America with Trump? They say, I would rather be there. Trump is a bad guy. And so then they start telling them about this guy. Said he kills the people, and he said the women, and they'll talk about how America's they're oppressed. And they'll say, well, would you consider it oppression there? That you have to wear a veil and that you have to be covered and you can't go anywhere without telling your husband or getting your husband's permission and you can't do this and you can't do that. They still say Trump's the bad guy. There is an insanity that's on the earth today that is beyond belief. And you don't find as much of the persecution into the message people anymore, because it's so big now, or not even into the Bible, because it's not needed. It's not needed. The people are so deceived. They're so deceived that Satan doesn't have to do anything. He's got them right where he wants them. He doesn't need to fight it. He needs to let them coast. He needs to bless them. He just needs to let them go right on. Because they're so far away from God, and they think that they're saved. See, it's a devil. That's all it is. See, don't you believe it? It's not our organization. We don't have nothing to do with that. See, if they would have only knew the sign. See, if they would have only known. That's right. See, Jesus said, if they would have only known your day, Jerusalem, if you could have only recognized, but said, now you're left to your own. See, if you'd have only known, if you, oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft I would have hovered you. See, as a hen would her brood from the judgments that's just to come. See, but you didn't know your day. You that stoned the prophets and killed the righteous, huh? Not a new thing. It's not a new thing. If you had have only known your day, if you would have only known, and had been up on your scriptures. Yeah. See? And know that my coming was a sign of your end. And now you're blind. Now you've been rebuked. Now your time is over. That's where we're at. That's the scripture of describing this last day. But the scripture that described Jesus' day too. The same thing. The same thing was happening. That's right. If they would only know the time. Look, when Jesus made that declaration, the world went right on, see? See, the world went right on. Normally, huh? Normally, the world went right on. And this has always been such a powerful thing to me. When you think that everything that they were looking for, everything, even those that believed what happened 2,000 years ago. They believe that would finish it. That's exactly what the people believe today. But here we are preaching and preaching to the eternal lost. And the world is going on normally. The world is going right on like it has always gone on. Do we believe we're in the end time? Yes, we do. They've been believing that for 2,000 years too. They have. And we know we're 2,000 years closer. But it's a sign. It goes right on. The door of the ark closed and the world went right on normally. Everything was the same. For everybody in the whole world, they went right on. When that judgment rained down on Sodom and Gomorrah, the rest of the world went right on. The world went right on when Noah went into the ark. The world moved right on. The scoffers in that day, they still had sex parties. They eat, they drink, they married, done the things that they do today. Just exactly normally. See? Ha! And that old holy roller closed the door. Now, did you ever hear of such a thing? Ha ha! You know what he says? We're all going to be drowned. Nonsense. Where is the water? They got to do that. They got to continue on with their drinking and their mocking and all of that until the day. But no time during that period could they have got in that ark. No. It was over. It was finished. Scoffers in the days of Noah. So shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. All right? Noah knew the sign. Same thing in the days of Lot. Same things in the days of Jesus. So is it today. They scoffed their last time. Same at Sodom. They never knew. See? They never knew. That was the point Brother Branham was making. That was the point Brother Neville was making. They never knew. They never knew him in the first place. When that messenger was standing there, and that message from God, they only laughed at them and tried to pervert them to their own acts. Is that right? That's exactly what the men of the city came to those two angels. And that's what they wanted. They wanted those two. They wanted to pervert them to what they do. That's the same thing in every age. They want to bring you to that. Ain't nothing the devil would like more than to bring you to their perversion. Is that right? Come in and join us. Be one of us. Is that right? Come in, join us, be one of us. You'll be one of the boys. Come on, join us. See, they never knew their sign. See, it's not about joining. It's not about hooking up with some church. They didn't know that when that message was going on. They couldn't see it. That the fire and wrath of judgment, as God, a fire of blazes of brimstone was kindling in the skies. They couldn't see it. They couldn't see that that rain was fixing to fall in Noah's day. They couldn't see that fire was fixing to fall in Lot's day. No, they couldn't see it. They couldn't see it in Jesus' day when those Romans were marching on their way and Titus got there in 70 AD. No. They couldn't see what they were rejecting and what judgment they were bringing upon themselves. They couldn't see it. See? The messengers could. Lot knew it too. He knew it was there, certainly. Same as today. Same as it is today. Same, just the same thing. Wrath is kindling. Atomic bombs, see, are hanging. Everything is at the end. It's the same now. Look, people, listen. You say, Brother Branham, what about all of it? See, you know, people can go right on preaching the gospel like they always did. See, what they call the gospel. Think about that. That's what they're going to continue doing. There was a, I don't know if I have it in here somewhere, but I was, I don't know if I already read it or what, but one in the questions and answers they asked Brother Branham, someone did, said, Brother Branham, what are they going to preach when it's over and done and the Spirit of God's taken from the earth? What are they going to preach? Thought, that's a pretty good question. They're going to preach the same thing they've been preaching. It didn't work when the Spirit of God was here, and it's not going to work when the Spirit of God is not here. No. They put him out. They didn't want that Spirit. They didn't know what that Spirit was. They didn't know what that messenger was. They didn't know what that message was. So they got it out of their midst. What they call the gospel, it could be over, huh? Sure. Although the revelation is always perfectly identified in the Scripture, always. What do they call it? What do they call the gospel? The word of another age. That's what they call the gospel. The word of another age. That is what they're looking to. That's what they're thinking about. That's what they're trying to save people by. See? They did it in the days of Noah. They did it in the days of Lot. They did it in the days of Jesus. That's right. In the days of Noah, what were they? They were teaching, they were preaching, saying, it's never rained. It's not going to rain. Science can prove it's not going to rain. In the days of Lot, this fire and brimstone is going to come out of the heavens. It's never been known before. They just went right on with their sex parties. They went right on with their ideas. In the days of Jesus, huh? They went right on with their animal sacrifice. They went right on with their ideas. They went right on looking for Messiah according to their idea of the gospel, according to their idea of the Scripture. See? Even the Jews, after Jesus told them that the wrath, you're done, you're finished, there's no more, you're finished. Did he tell them? He told them on Calvary, it's finished. He was talking about a lot more than some people think. Oh, he said that holy roller, what school did he come from? See? Where did he come from? Remember, he was ready then for his third pull. That's right. See? How oft I would have hovered you. Yeah? How oft he would in this day. How oft the word came and tried to gather them together. See? Lot made his last call. Or I mean, the angel did, the messenger, ever who he was. God represented for this day. God represented in human flesh, made the last sign, performed the last duty. It was all over then. That's right. Huh? And he's identified it over and over and over. And I'm just nailing it down. Noah preached his last sermon. The door closed behind him. That was all. They laughed at it. They made fun of it. You think the people can go right on preaching, huh? They can go right on. Now, he said it over and over. And I preached this years ago, and I found twice as many quotes this time as what I used to have before I lost all those quotes. The Ecumenical Council can join up with the Catholics just as they promised to do. All the organizations, see, all of those things. Take the mark of the beast, dropping down. See, they spoke with tongues. That don't mean one thing. Oh, they're meek, they're gentle, they're humble. Yes, sir. They got the fruit of the Spirit. That's no sign, not a bit. Huh? I'm dropping down here to 341. Not by speaking in tongues, not by dancing in the Spirit, not by joining the church, not by fruits of the Spirit. Christian Science can outsmother any of you on that and deny even Jesus was divine. See, it's not on that. And that's not all. He talked about the kind old priest. And that's what I skipped over. He talked about the kind old priest. And there's many denominations that have that fruit of the Spirit. They have that kindness. They have that love. They have those things. sometimes even outshining the very elect. But it's the Word, see? It's the Word living. And there it is. If they would have only looked, see, He was Messiah. He was the living Word made manifest. That's what they missed. They missed the living Word made manifest. How could it be? We see it happening again today. We see it happening. That's right. A man that's got the Spirit of God in him, or a woman, lives that Word, and it lives right out of them. Mm-hmm. And I'm closing with this. It lives right out of them. A life, not a letter, not a joining. Amen. No, a life. It's a life. It's when Christ comes in.
Amen.
See? Lives right out of them. See, that's the heartbeat. Praise God. That's the heartbeat. Think, the predestinated. For the Word of the Lord comes to them. And they are the Word to the people. What are they? They're the voice. They're the voice that's speaking. Think about that. Huh? They are the Word to the people. Written epistles read of all men. That's right. Could the third pool be on? You know this is it. You know this. It's the end. It's the finish. It's the climax of the whole thing. That's right. Think what he's saying. He's saying that's the heartbeat. Huh? This bride, she's the heartbeat. She's the life living in her. That's right. Hey, just think. Abraham, he was the heartbeat in that day. That's where the Word came to. The Word came to him. God came to him. He was in the presence of God. Not by his choice, not by his ability, but because God came to him. God came to him. And identified himself with Abraham. Moses was the heartbeat in his day. The Word came to him. Huh? And when all of them, 2 million people, turning against him, huh? He was the heartbeat. Isn't that amazing? Every one of those prophets was the heartbeat. Every one of them was bringing the Word. Every one of them was coming with, "Thus saith the Lord." Every one of them anointed of God. Think Esther, in her day, she was the heartbeat. That's right. That nation was depending on her. They were depending on her. And she walked out there knowing that she could die. All of the emotion was there. All of the physical human pressure was there. It wasn't like she was in this utopia, that she was in this supernatural realm, and she didn't have any feelings, she didn't have any fear, she didn't have anything. No, she was in human flesh just like you. And she walked right out there knowing that she could die. You didn't walk in the presence of the king without permission. You didn't walk in the presence of the king without an invitation. And she knew just by walking there and standing there, and he would either offer her to come or he would reject her. And you could die for that. Huh? She was the heartbeat. Think, Sarah was the heartbeat. You say, brother, Sarah was the heartbeat? She rejected God. She denied God. She laughed at God. She lied to God. She was a heartbeat. She was.
Amen.
Not by anything that she could do. And that's the beauty of that story. And it really struck me today. And I thank God there's people like that in the Bible. Because it helps my morale, Brother Goomba. It helps my morale some. Huh? Yeah. She was the heartbeat. God said, Sarah will have a son.
Yes,
it didn't matter if she laughed. It didn't matter if she lied. It didn't matter if she doubted.
Right.
It did not matter. God ordained that Sarah was going to have a son.
Yes.
He told Abraham, your wife Sarah is going to have a son. Huh? That was the heartbeat. That was God. That was the life. And it was going to manifest in her. She got over all of that. She got by all of that. But she had to go through that.
Right.
Yeah. Sometimes going through those places really helps us out.
Amen.
Yeah. It makes us have a little more feeling, a little more understanding.
That's right.
Oh, my. Just think, she even went and got Hagar involved. She went and got her involved and tried to start this race of people herself. And that's what's wrong over there right now. And it's still the problem. Yeah. But did God ordain it? Absolutely. He brought that race of people for that purpose. He said, he'll be a wild man. That's right. And his hand will be against everybody. And look at him. As soon as Israel and the United States started in that war, the last count I heard was that Iran was fighting against 13 nations. 13. Do you think she cares? No. They've taken her navy out. They're taking the air force, their air ability out. They've taken all of that out. Is she still shooting?
Right.
Yes. They don't. You can't imagine. We try to say we're the civilized people of all. Since the beginning, we're the civilized people. Now, we had all this time to get civilized and all this time for humanity. All this. It's the same devil, the same animals doing the same thing that Cain did in the very beginning. There ain't no difference then and now. It's been the same all the way through. Mm-mm-mm. 345. What if it is? Look at the scriptures piled in here. Could it be? Is the third pull to preach to the eternal doomed that's rejected the message of salvation? Huh? You say the church going, yeah, they will. They'll go right on just the same. And remember, all this time, Noah was in the ark. The bride is sealed in. Not she's going to be sealed in. Not it's not coming. The bride is sealed in with Christ. The last member has been redeemed. The sixth seal has produced itself. And the seventh seal brings him back to the earth. Rather, he's here. He's here. If you're looking for flesh, that's somewhere else. He's here now, and he's the Word. And he is Spirit, and he's Word, and he's here. And he took the book, and he has finished the work of redemption. He's finished the mediatorial work. He's finished it. See? And he sat down. The Lamb come and took the book out of the right hand of him and sat down and claimed what he owned, what he had redeemed. That's right. It's always been that third pull. It's always been. Amen. See? Three is perfection. The ministry come to its perfection when it reproduced Christ again in the natural amongst human beings, as was predicted, as it was in the days of Lot. God came down in flesh and visited the elect, Abraham. See? Oh, think, people. People could go right on preaching, thinking they're getting saved, believing they're doing right, believing their organizations are growing. Sure, and not even a ray of hope. Isn't that something? To think that they're gaining members, they're growing in their organization, and not even a ray of hope. If that vision was that, it's been so hard against the women. We have come to that hour. The door is closed, gone. Already the book is in his hand. Think of it. Now, this is months after he took the book. Months after he took the book. That's right. Let's stand together. May God bless you. We just thank him and praise him.
Amen.
We know that his word is true. It's true. These things were predestinated for this day and for this hour. Amen. So I'm going to ask Brother Gomer to come and dismiss us in prayer. God bless you, brother. God bless you. Appreciate you.
I think this can work, is right? Okay. How is it? God bless you. That's good. That's good. That's very good. But it's a bit fearful, not for us, but for the rest of the world. That's where we are at. So it's in prison now. When he preached that book, that was about before he preached. What book were you reading, brother? Okay. It's falling apart. The world is falling apart. That was, I think, on 27 something something. That's about 15 days. That was 15 days. 10 days before that. That was Saul's in prison now. And he was preaching that like he is asking a question.
Yes.
But you read it, and he's going to tell you exactly what it was. Yeah. That it was done. That time it was done. And now, Brother Don has read a very good quote there. In that the world is falling apart. It tells you exactly when it was done away with, when it was finished, when it was when that door was closed. You know, he compares it with Noah getting into the. I'm not preaching. Noah getting into the ark. You know, Noah got into the ark, and when he got in the ark, into the ark, the door closed. When the door closed, the message of Noah continued, and it says Noah was saying it's gonna rain. Is going to rain, and they continued talking about it, but nobody could, even if they wanted, there was no way to get in. Right. Those were souls in prison. They were already in prison. They were already judged. In prison is to say they were already judged. There was no way for them to get saved, whether they wanted or not, it was done. And now that's exactly where we are at. And the same thing about Jesus Christ, the ministry of Jesus Christ. When it came to he died, they refused him, and he told them, if you don't believe that I am he that was supposed to be the Messiah, that was supposed to be sent to you for your salvation. If you don't believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. That's right. It was done. It was done. Then they killed him. He died for our sins, and he went to preach to those people that were in prison. They could not, those people who are dead, and they died during Noah's time, all those time, he was to prove to them, I'm he, that you refused. But now you are here. You know, when you die, the prophet said, when you die, you don't change. Those people cannot change. When you die, you resurrect the way you are. If you are a sinner, you resurrect the way you are. So those people were sinners. They could not come back. There was no way for them to change, nothing. And God is looking at me like, how? People pray for other people, and they pray, like the Catholic Church, you get some money there, you pay the father, they're called the fathers, eh? You pay the priest there, and when they say some prayers, you are taken from a place called purgatory. There's nothing like purgatory, there's nothing like that. There's nothing like that. They made it to make money. They made that place to make money. There's nothing like that. They made that. You pray that. The way you die is the way you say. You die a sinner. There's nothing to change you. That's why they were in prison. There was no way to change them. And you ask me, God, why do I say that? Is this the Bible? Do you remember a man? Maybe you're going to read that story. Go read that story about a man that resurrected. He was called by a witch. A witch called him. Those days they could call them. Because they were in a place called Paradise. That's where Jesus Christ went to preach to them.
Yes.
And now he went there. The devil could go there. Now they cannot. After Jesus Christ died, he took them from there and he took them to the sixth dimension, another place. When you die a Christian now, nobody, the devil cannot get you. You are there in the sixth dimension and you are safe. Because you died a savior, saved, you stay saved. When you resurrect here on earth, you resurrect saved. Nothing else. When you die with your sins, when you wake up, you are still a sinner. That's why, was it Samuel? He was caught by that witch. When he woke up, he was a prophet. He died a prophet. What was he when he resurrected? A prophet. And he prophesied. This idea of that, when you die the way you die. That's why Jesus Christ preached to them. They were in prison. They could not do nothing. They could not do nothing. They could not change. They could not do nothing. But he proved to them that what They had been told by everybody in the past year, it was true. They were talking about him. And that's exactly what you're saying today. Today again. Today, there's nobody that can get saved except the predestinated. The seed of God, the seed of God. Nobody else. They can hear. And these people who are calling themselves message believers and things like that, they cannot even believe the message of God. They cannot. There's no way. They cannot recognize it. Because the thing that recognizes it is this. That thing that caught your hearing in me, in you, like, I want to make my life right. It's not you. It's not this body. It's not your mind. It's something here. That see, this, I want this. This is where I belong. It's not today. It has always been there. But now, God is putting some light on it for you to see. This is where I belong. I want to go there. That's the only thing that can get saved today. Anything else? The door is closed. It's done. That's why that gives me, you know, my brothers and sisters, sometimes you cry. You look at people. You talk to them. They read this message. They look, it's so plain to them. And they see everything there. They can even talk and say he's come. They can talk like, and then, why don't they come? Why aren't they coming to it? Why are they looking at it. It's here. Why are they not coming to it? Now, it gives you consolation. You know why. You cry. Some of them are your relatives. Some of them are the people that you love so much. And I tell you what, brother, except they accept that I am he, they die in their sins. Except they accept that Jesus Christ is here in the bride. They die in their sins. It doesn't matter how much they say they believe the message, they die. It's a pathetic situation. But anyways, it's what it is. And may God bless you. That was a deep message again, my brother Don, and I didn't have it. Sometimes when people look at it, it feels like, then why are we even preaching? If you don't preach, and your life preaches. So we talk our lives preaches, our life is preaching. What we are doing, we are manifesting Jesus Christ here on earth. We are displaying him to the people, to the earth. And that's exactly what you're doing. And you can ask me, why was then Jesus Christ preaching to the souls in prison? Why was he preaching in paradise? Why was he preaching? It's got to be saved. It's got to be saved. It's got to be proven. God has got to prove that he's here. He's here. He's got to prove to the people that what he promised, he's doing it. He's here. That's exactly what he's doing. He's proving to the people. He's proving to the world that he promised that he will get a body. That's a body of believers called the bride of Jesus Christ. He will tabernacle in them and he will display himself here on earth. This is me. This is the body. This is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here on earth again speaking. He will display that. He promised that and he's doing it. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. You really know what, Lord God, we need. Sometimes we search, we look, and sometimes we don't know exactly what direction to follow, Father. But you have answers to our hearts, Father. And we know, Lord God, that you've talked to us tonight. And every day, Father, when we gather, you talk to us, Lord. And that's our food, Father. That's our food. That is what we want. That is so good, Lord God, when we sit on the table, Father, and you serve the table. And Father, we feel blessed and loved, Lord. Thank you. Bless the people now, Lord God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you.